Let's all stand and sing, "Jesus is just all right with me." Oh, that's not a gospel song. Okay. Let's stand, though. We need to start by worshiping God before we minister this morning. Let's stand, those of us that can. Oh, excuse me. And let's worship God. Let's give God praise. Father, we thank you. We praise you and honor you. I glorify your holy name. I thank you for the word of God that sets us free. Praise God. I thank you, Jesus, for these men. I'm asking you to move this morning. I pray the heavens to bow down in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Second Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6. You have your Bibles this morning. Looking at verses 8 through 18. While I was pastoring in Las Vegas, Nevada, I was invited out to Area 51. I don't believe in Martians anymore. But I went to Area 51, and there, as a civilian, I was invited to observe the flight and the training of the Predator drone. There, in a command module, we observed a pilot, a missions intelligence operator, and a sensor operator. The missions intelligence operator's job was to give to the sensor operator who operates the onboard weaponry the best target or picture of the battlefield. The missions intelligence operator began to explain some of the technology that was on board in relation to the cameras. The one that was most intriguing to me was the one that was mounted there upon the nose cone of the Predator. In fact, he had named that particular camera God's Eye on the battlefield. So I began to watch and observe and to gain some understanding of how they could, there in Area 51 or wherever the command module was located, observe an international target. They could watch various places very closely with this technology. They could zoom in on a person, people, armies, various types of weapons, and they could gain some understanding of what they were fighting or what was a possible threat, and then make a determination of how they wanted to deal with the target. And I was, again, very intrigued with this because it has a application this morning, and that application is that you and I are involved in a battle. The Bible says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So with that in mind, we have an understanding that we're fighting upon a battlefield that we cannot see. And if we are going to be this morning successful, if we're going to be victorious, and that is in fact something that God has said that we are to be victorious. How many of you want to live in victory? Hello. Victorious. then we're going to need to have some information, some insight, some intel on our enemy. And we as men of God, we are engaged. We're continually challenged, charged to live separated from this world, to apply the call of God that is upon each and every one of our lives, to be involved in the battle to win souls, to yield our lives to the call of God, to surrender. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to beware of how the enemy seeks to interrupt and undermine what God's called us to do. I want to look at this portion of Scripture. Would you read along with me? 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants, his servants, said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire, and all around Elijah. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Jesus, we thank you again for what you have done, and we're so grateful for this host of men. I'm praying for the anointing that breaks the yoke. I believe the word of God, as it is spoken, declares truth, revelation, and supernatural guidance. And I'm praying this morning for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look, first of all, at the battlefield. Look at verse 8. It says, the king of Syria was making war with Israel. Now, you find here two kingdoms, a representation of the kingdom of God, Israel, the kingdom of darkness, or the kingdom of the devil, Syria. They are in a conflict, and it is a perilous battle. It's a continuous battle. It continues to this day. These two kingdoms are fighting. And this two-dimensional warfare involves a geographical location here in the text. Also, it involves a spiritual location, or a spiritual dimension. These two continue to be at odds. There's a battle going on right now. These two areas are being attacked, assaulted. There is an involvement this morning. You and I, as men of God, we are contending, believing, asking God. And there are various things that the enemy does, plans to invade, undermine, deceive, and bring accusation against our lives. The target here in the Word of God is a supernatural target. Look at verse 12. Elijah the prophet tells the king of Israel, what you speak in your bedroom. The word of God is being attacked here. The word for the moment. The word for the future. Psalms 109 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a guide upon my path." And this is exactly what the enemy is strategizing against. The word of God for our lives. The word of God continually for our lives. This vast reservoir, this supernatural supply, God's word, that word that supernaturally instructs, it supernaturally convicts, it brings clarity and direction for our lives. And it is here that we see the enemy assaulting this, taking initiative against the word of God for Israel's life, Israel's future, Israel's plans, strategizing continually against it. We find here in Scripture, Genesis 3, that the word of God is being challenged. Did God really say, "You will not surely die"? No, if you eat, you will be like the Most High God. Here is Eve. She's in the Garden of Eden. The serpent, the Bible says, beguiled her or deceived her through these words. He was bringing doubt, unbelief, challenging the word of God for her life, for their lives at that moment. Now, here again in the text, we see in verse 12 this reminder, and one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Here in the Syrian war room, the king of Syria said to his delegation of officers, "Who is for the king of Israel?" And it is here in verse 12, a response from the Syrian king's servant, who says, "None, my lord, it's that man of God down at the potter's house. Pastor Wayman Mitchell, Pastor Greg Mitchell, they're declaring the word of God faithfully. They're preaching that word in season, declaring the word of God for these who listen to the word of God, know exactly what the enemy is doing in his war room." And this is what the devil wants to do, gentlemen, continually in your life and mine. Whether it be in prayer, he wants to undermine your faithfulness to pray. Devotion, reading the word of God, he wants to interrupt that moment. Services. God has designed the church service, this place where we come together, the hospital, the war room, this place that we receive the word of God, the whole counsel of God in season for our lives. That word spoken that declares the truth of God's word in relation to family, in relation to destiny. "I know my thoughts towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil." There are those that feel condemned because of their past. It is here that the word of God again refreshes us, brings us back to a place where we have an understanding that God still has a plan for our lives. I want to look, secondly, at the enemy's weapons. Now, when you read chapter 6, you find literally that there is an arsenal of weapons that's mentioned here. An arsenal that the devil uses against our lives. They are referred to here in this portion of Scripture in Ephesians 6 as fiery darts. And we know that weaponry is a key component to victory or defeat. There are three here that we see. In verse 9, it says, "For the Syrians are coming down there." The Syrians, an army. This speaks of, again, many adversaries. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, Paul mentions here about a great door that's been opened unto me. But there are many adversaries there. He's speaking of a door, a threshold, something that you must enter thereby. And he says, at this place, there are many adversaries there, speaking of a resistance. The first thing that you're going to experience as a Christian, a man of God, is resistance. There is a opposition that the enemy sends against a pressure, literally something that we experience in a supernatural dimension. An opposition that comes through the fiery darts that begin to attack our minds, that bring accusation against our thoughts, begins to promote inferiority. Various things of the past that you have dealt with, fear, the pain of failure, things that you have gone through. And so what the enemy does is he uses these fiery darts to make you feel like you can't. Or he forces you into a place where you feel like you're going to fail again. This is a resistance. But notice here in verse 10, it says they were watchful there. This applies because they were making good decisions according to the word of God. The Syrians will be in such and such a place. Here God is again giving them supernatural intel through the man of God, Elijah. In 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 4 through 8, you will find that there are a number of giants mentioned here. One's name is Sipai, S-I-P-P-A-I. His name means to stand in the threshold of, resist, or oppose. And again, the enemy is at work because he uses this magnification process through the mind. He causes us to doubt. God has given you a powerful word. You've been gloriously saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But yet, the enemy counters at this place where you have stepped through this threshold into the plan of God, this glorious redemption where Jesus has cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Now you're walking in this newfound faith, this walk with God. And it is here that there is a resistance. And that resistance is to stop progress. Receiving God's supernatural instruction, one of the things that I have contended for as a pastor, as an evangelist, is that when people get saved, they fall in love with Jesus, but also that they fall in love with the church. Because again, this is the assembly. This is the ecclesia. This is the place that God has designed for the sake of the believer, for the new convert. It's the milk of God's word that brings that sustenance, that provision for that individual there in their time of growth and need. For the older believer, the more mature, it is again the word of God. The word of God that's meat, that sustenance that continues to feed and bring growth, because we know in Isaiah 28 that he is doing something in our lives, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. There's something that's continually going on in the faith of a believer. And that is that God is taking us from faith to faith. Various places, critical places in Scripture where you will find an assault or a door. A door was opened up for God's people, for humanity. An example is where the three kings, they walk into the king's court, Herod the king, and they begin to inquire about the whereabouts of this king, Jesus. Where is he to be born? Herod plays the advocate, but he is not. He strategizes. He wants to kill Christ. And so he says to them, when you locate this child, send for me that I may also come and worship him. Strategic. At a critical time, a threshold for all of humanity to be saved. And it is here that the enemy attacks and resists. I will look secondly at the unexpected response in relation to the weaponry. Look at verse 14. They came by night and surrounded the city. Notice that there's no intel here. You're going to have to fight battles, gentlemen, that you weren't expecting. Battles. There are various examples of this in Scripture. Acts chapter 16, we find Paul. Paul and Silas, they are now in Macedonia. A great miracle has taken place. There's a church birthed in Lydia's house. A wonderful move of God. On the way to prayer every morning, they have an experience of there with a girl with a spirit of divination. These are servants of the Most High God. These are servants of the Most High God. Daily, the Bible says that this vexed Paul. He turned to the girl and said, I cast the devil out of you. She is gloriously delivered. What a great miracle. But her masters, they weren't so happy about it. She's the one that would read the palms, the tarot cards. You'd call and say, do you have a word for me? And she had all kinds of words for people. And the Bible says that her masters grabbed a hold of Paul and Silas, drove them there to the magistrates. These men, they were accused, beaten, then thrown into jail. Hey, man, I'm just living for God here. What the heck? I'm in jail again. I just got out of jail. Remember, I got saved. And here in this portion of Scripture, an unexpected experience, jail. The Bible says, though, that this was the place where Paul was able to see the Macedonian man. This all began because Paul had, in a vision, a plea, come over and help us. And so he does, and ultimately in this unexpected place, this man and his family were gloriously saved. The third thing that you see is intimidation. Look at verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" They were surrounded. The devil's strategy this morning against your life is to intimidate you. And when you are intimidated, you change your actions. Because the devil tries to impress you through intimidation. There are, again, numbers of examples in Scripture, one of which is in Numbers chapter 13. Here in Numbers chapter 13, you find the 12 spies who have returned back from Canaan. They're carrying the fruit, the abundance, the promise that God had given them. But when they were challenged to go in and occupy, immediately they were intimidated because of the size of the opposition, the giants. And 10 of them rose up, says, "We're not going in." Two, Joshua and Caleb, who went in later, said, "Let's do this, and let's do it at once." And there are men, God has given you promise. He has given you promises about destiny and fruitfulness. He has redeemed you powerfully, but it's at that moment when God says, "I want you to step in, I want you to occupy the promises that I have for your life," the enemy comes in and he begins to intimidate, strategize, bring accusation against your mind. Zechariah chapter 3, we find here a picture of this reality. Here is Joshua, the high priest. He is standing before God. And there the Bible says, Satan brought accusation against him. Accusation against this man's worth, his ministry. And the Bible says it's at that moment that accusation come that God gave him a clean garment. This is what we must continually remember, and that is this clean garment is a picture of your redemption. Who you are in Christ Jesus. When that accusation comes against your life, you must remember who you are, what God has done for you. And this brings us to our third point, the victory. The victory. If you're looking for a reason to quit, the devil will give you one. I assure you of that. But we can this morning appropriate this reality of victory. And this is what God wants us to do again in verse 16 through 18. The Bible says, Elijah told his servant, "Do not fear." No matter how large the opposition seems to be, or how big it seems to be, we can still win. It's here that Elijah says to his servant who has come back and said, "We're surrounded. There's no way out. There in Dothan, the Syrian army had surrounded the city entirely." And this disciple goes out. Perhaps he missed prayer that morning. He did make Starbucks, though. He had his latte. And there he comes back to his pastor and says, "What do we do? We're surrounded." Then the Bible says that Elijah prays and says, "Open the eyes of my servant that he may see as I see." what I'm seeing, what I'm believing. The Bible says that his eyes are open and he sees the army of God surrounding the Syrian army. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus there inquires, standing at Caesarea Philippi, known to be the gates of hell. There, etched in stone, the gods of this world. Etched in stone, these gods that people were worshiping. And there, as he makes this statement, he asks those who are gathered, "Who do men say that I am?" Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're John, risen from the dead. But then he inserts this, "But who do you say that I am?" Then Peter says, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this confession, upon this reality, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In every geographical location, there are gathered together in the war room of that place the gates of hell. Those in the gates of hell, principalities and powers, they get together and they discuss us. They discuss our church planting. They discuss our discipleship. They discuss our lack of interest. They discuss compromise. They discuss things. They get together there in the war room, the gates of hell, and they strategize against us. They use the fiery darts, these demonic powers, to undermine a church that's listening to the Word of God, that's listening and saying, "Yes, Lord, here am I, send me." And their strategy is to complicate things, to make us feel inadequate, condemned, to force us to believe a lie. But it is here that Jesus says, upon this confession of who I am, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When we pray in the name of Jesus and say, "In Jesus' name, I rebuke that." In Jesus' name, when we pray for the sick, there is a guarantee because of the authority that we have been given. In Jesus' name, when we pray in Jesus' name, there is a guarantee, and that is that we take dominion over the principalities and powers that war against us. In the name of Jesus, there's no greater name than the name of Jesus. When we fight and we evangelize in Jesus' name, when we preach that name, Jesus, I assure you, we cause hell to tremble because of that dominion that we have been given, that promise in Jesus' name. Upon this confession of who Christ is, I sure assure you that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Hallelujah. It says here again in Matthew chapter 16, it says, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom." When a priest would become a lawyer of doctrine, he would be given the keys to the cabinet so he could unlock that cabinet, take out the scriptures, and teach them. You and I, the Bible says, are kings and priests. We have been given access, keys to the kingdom. And we have an authority now because of the Word of God. We have authority to unlock what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose upon earth will be loosed in heaven. This assures you and I this morning as we take that authority that we have been given in Jesus' name, that we can unlock the reality of God's plan for our lives. Jesus, I'm believing that all things are possible when we walk by faith and not by sight. We take that initiative this morning in Jesus' name. I'm not going to be intimidated. You get your hands off my mind. You get your hands off my family. You get your hands off my finances. You get your hands off of, because in Jesus' name I have authority over you, and in Jesus' name the gates of hell shall not prevail against what God has given me authority to do. I will not be intimidated. I will not back off. I will not, because of who Jesus Christ is for me. Give God praise in the house of God. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Heads bowed, eyes closed. In Jesus' name. You're here this morning. You're not saved. You're not born again. Friend, will you say, you know what? I know I'm a sinner. I'm not right with God. I need to be born again. The Bible says today is the day of reconciliation. Tomorrow may never come. And if you will, I assure you, Jesus will come into your heart. If you'll say, I know I'm a sinner. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you say, preacher, that's what I want. I want to receive Christ into my life. I know that I need to be saved. And here's my hand this morning. Would you pray for me? I want to give my life to Jesus. And right now, you'd lift it up. That's me. That's me, unsaved, backslider. You know who you are. God's dealing with you. Is there anyone this morning before I change the appeal? Thank you for that hand. Who else? Others this morning, God's dealing with you. Yes, I'm not saved. I'm backslidden. You lift your hand and join this honest heart. Me too. I want to get my heart right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you'd lift your hand. That's me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You lifted your hand. Would you look up at me? Praise God. I'm going to have my brother right here. Would you just come? I'm going to have Dennis pray with you. Just a sinner's prayer right there. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has spoken to us. Thank God. And we're believing this morning in who God says we are. I'm not going to allow this resistance in my life, preacher. I'm going to stand upon the reality of who Christ is. The unexpected. I'm going to rise up in the midst of the unexpected, that God would turn that for His glory. I will not be intimidated. Greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. You take a moment, gentlemen, and you get a hold of God there where you're sitting. Just begin to, as the Holy Ghost is ministering. I feel the Holy Ghost moving supernaturally. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the signs and the wonders of God's word. That plan that's promised. Thank God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Praise God. Sharabakasha. Rabba rabba kiborobo rabasi. Rama kiborobo ramasi diamanamango. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Maybe you'd stand with me this morning. You're here and you've not been filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to be endued with power. That, my friend, is very important. Paul said to a group of believers in Acts 19, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit since you have believed? This revolutionized my walk with Christ. Until I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I kept going back to the drugs. I kept backsliding. I kept going back to the drink. I kept failing. And I wanted to do right, but it's like there was something missing. And that which was missing was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus says, I must go now, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Helper. And He will endue you with power. You need to be endued with power. If you're not speaking in tongues, you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost. And we are Pentecostal. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Endued with power. This morning, that you'd say, Preacher, I need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. Fear is the opponent to this. Fear is where it's the dark room where all of your negatives are developed. Fear causes you to doubt the very thing that God wants to do. Fill you with the Holy Ghost. Say, Preacher, that's what I need. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost this morning. Is there any of you here that needs to be filled? You lift your hand. That's me. I want to get filled this morning. Hallelujah. Anybody at all? Hallelujah. Then changing the appeal. We must believe. And I said, we must take the authority that Christ has given us and believe. Walking by faith and not by sight. I want to tell you something, Andy. God has directed you. He has given you clarity at times. But be careful. There are things that the enemy is placing in your way to steal something that God has placed upon your heart. The enemy has come to steal, kill, destroy. But I say to you this morning, it's time to be very careful. Watch. Be watchful. Notice that in the scripture, they were watchful there because of the word that God had given through the man of God. Be careful. What God has placed upon your life is special. It's unique. But be careful and watch. Stand and pray. Assert yourself in this reality of prayer like never before. I'm telling you, man, you need to stand in prayer. And I'll tell you, you'll break right through. Be careful, though. The enemy wants to steal, kill, destroy. Amen? Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Amen. God has given you a strength. This strength is something known as integrity. And I'm going to tell you that there have been a number of times where there have been situations where your integrity has been challenged to compromise. It was in the slight. It was in something that no one would have seen, but God said, I would have seen it. But you made a choice, and in response, God has blessed, but He's going to do something even greater. There has been someone that you've been dealing with. You've been challenging them. You've been praying for them. It's been upon your heart. It's a constant situation. And God wants me to let you know that this is what's going to happen, that God is going to do something very powerful in this person's life. Do not allow the moment or the circumstance to cause you to doubt. God's going to do something. God's going to do something. God is going to do something. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. There's been a situation where you have felt very intimidated. And I'm going to tell you what, this is unusual for you because you have been able to, in the past, rise up and take dominion, but you have felt very intimidated. This thing assaults you. It makes you wonder at times. It assaults your faith, your choices. God very powerfully touched your life. He spoke a word into your heart, and you said, God, yes. And this was something that you at the moment said, you know what, this is very real. You had informed those around you, this is what we're going to do. But yet you've backed away from it. You've taken some steps back and you have even doubted that that was God. God said, don't doubt. I spoke to you. I gave you that word. I gave you that promise. Don't back off because of intimidation. Rise up. Press in. There's things that you've let go. One time, man, you were in pursuit. You've let them go because of this. Rise up. Press through. Break through. Hello. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. Let's give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Isn't God good? Adam, I tell you, God wants me to tell you that there has been this place of stretching. I mean, it's been like you feel like Gumby, man. You're just like stretched. But this has been a good thing for you because there's lots of things that you had compartmentalized when it came to God. There's things that you believe this goes there, that goes. And that's the way you are. You like things to fit. But God has stretched you. He's stretching you in your heart. He's making you realize that there are things that you're just going to have to believe in, especially when it comes to His challenge for your life. There have been things that have attacked in the past your trust. You said, I don't know if I can give my heart to that. The enemy has used that to cause there to be setbacks. Listen to me. God wants you to trust because He's helping you, men. There's things that He spoke to you about, and there was such an excitement. I want to do that, but it seemed like it's so far away. Listen, believe God. God's stretching you, doing something wonderful in your life. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. God has placed a unique gift upon your life. And that is a gift of authority. There are people that respect you. They look to you. They ask questions. And this has been something even in the past. And I'm going to tell you, God gave you that gift of authority because He wants you to use it, not just out there, but most importantly, in His will. God's going to begin to make some new demands upon your life, and it's going to be something that literally shakes you. But God, me? Absolutely. God has equipped you. He's been very patient. He's brought you out of some amazing things. But there's a hunger within. That hunger, that desire, that passion, God has done that. And He's stirring you. He's supernaturally stirring you. And I tell you, brother, yield to that. It'll blow your mind what God does for you. Hallelujah. You'll be blown away. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. God reached in and He pulled you out. It wasn't just help me up. He reached in and grabbed a hold of you. And I'm going to tell you, you were in a place where you thought, I'm just going to go right back to doing the same old, same old. You weren't convinced. But God reached in and He grabbed a hold of you. And He has laid before you great promises already. And there's something in you that stirred up. You know what? Maybe I can do this. I assure you, in Jesus' name you can. And God has done a great miracle for you. Hello. You were right on the brink. You were ready to drop off once and for all. But God reached in and He grabbed a hold of you. He pulled you out. Hallelujah. Just gets better. Just gets better. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. God wants me to encourage you, Bill. There's a uniqueness that's always been upon your life. And it's the uniqueness of watching. Yes, watching. But also believing. There's things that you support. You're not a big emotional guy, but there's things that your heart leaps for. There's times that it leaps for certain things. And this is the excitement within. And God uses it. God uses it, and He uses it not only for your sake, but what it does is it begins to generate words that you speak. There are people at critical moments that God places in your life. And you will, through these words that you speak, bring a great salvaging of their lives. It's like, you'll almost wonder after you've said it, that had to be God. And it was. And God uses you. At times you feel like, you almost feel like, what else can I do? Because you have a heart to serve. I want to say to you, God uses you in this dimension in a very unique way. Amen. And you take the things of God very seriously. And I'm telling you, God uses you. There's more to come. There's more to come. There's more to come. Amen. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Isn't God wonderful? Carlos, I want to tell you, brother, it's the decisions that you're making now. There is an urgency. And that urgency is to see more for God. And it's the decisions you're making in the now that God is honoring. The decisions that you're making in relation to the moment, the challenge in the moment. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's a strategy that the devil's laying out. And I want to encourage you. Do not allow hell to trip you up here, because it's something that's happened in the past. The enemy uses this to cause you at times to doubt. Do not allow that to happen. There's someone that the enemy uses in a cycle in your life to speak words. These words, many times, they trigger things within from the past. Listen, beware. Beware. Do not allow the enemy to define your future. I said, do not allow it. In Jesus' name. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Randy, I'm telling you, God's done something in you to where there is a desire like never before to contend. God has been laying specific things on your heart in prayer. These are not just ordinary things. These are things that are far beyond you. When you pray, you say, this is far beyond me, but I know that this is God. And as you're praying for these things, God is moving in a supernatural dimension. Daniel chapter 10, we find Daniel praying. He's praying. He's at the river Tigris, and he's praying and he's contending. Things are happening far beyond him. The Bible says at this point he's weak. He feels weak. But it's then that the Lord comes to him and enlightens him to what's really going on. He says, for the last 21 days, I've been in a battle, a supernatural battle, literally, for a geographical location, Persia, breaking through. There has been an opposition. And listen, there's things you have been feeling in the spiritual. It's like an opposition. You're praying for something and you feel the opponent. Listen, God is doing things through that prayer. He's assisting your prayer. There is an opposition, but know this, there's going to be testimonies that you are going to receive. You prayed for something. Someone's going to come to you and say, Randy, listen, God laid it on my heart to tell you this, and you're going to say, whoa, I was praying for that. I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's give God praise. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, Ryan. God did a miracle. You were at this place in your life, and you had made a decision, I can't go through this again. You were sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it was here that the miracle took place, that you made a decision, I surrender. When you surrendered, you opened your heart up to the reality of who God is. He stepped into your life and your heart, and now has not only done a miracle of redemption, but He's given you a hope for the future that you've not had before. You almost used to resent the future, especially around the first of the year. You'd say, just going to be another year. God says, no, I'm giving you a new year. You got the real new year this year. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God's a good God, isn't He? Hallelujah. Amen. You have been reeling. There has been an assault against your mind. And I'm telling you, it's been like you've been bombarded in your thoughts. And the enemy has been shooting the fiery darts that I've said. And it's not like you're not fighting back. You are. Listen, though. What happens is when these things begin to attack your mind, you begin to take shots at yourself. There are things that you begin to remember. And what this does is it causes a calibration in you. You begin to be so hard. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why? The enemy is a liar, brother. God has saved you and got a plan for your life. And what you need to rise up and do and say, listen, I'm not listening to this press. I know who I am. You need to get in Scripture and remind yourself of who you are in Scripture. Hello. Amen. He who has sinned much is forgiven much. God has done a great miracle in you. Do you believe it? Isn't that wonderful? Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't God great? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's going to do something for you, Pete, that's new. You felt like you've been in this place of limbo for a number of years, and you're always trying to live up to something you feel is expected of you. And it's been an ongoing wrestling match. But I say to you, God has not done this. God is pleased with your heart to serve. And He sees your willingness to do so. And sometimes things begin to come in on top of you. And what you do is you frustrate yourself. And I need to. You know, well, listen, bro, relax. God uses you. He uses your life. And it's not been, at times you felt like it's wasted. No, it's not. God uses you powerfully. And He will continue to. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Anthony, I want to tell you something. What God does through these is He's using this to really help the men in the church. God is using you. He's speaking to you and specifically directing you. There are things that you're praying about and deciding for the sake of these. You're contending. And God uses these to help God's men. There's choices and decisions that are being made here during these classes, and during these breakfasts, that God, He's doing it. And so I want to encourage you, because I'm going to tell you, sometimes you get attacked because of this. There's an assault. And listen, God's moving. God's moving. God's moving. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Amen. I want to pray for you, Dave. God wants to do a miracle in your back. Your right leg is shorter than your left leg. Would you come out here? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for this man. We're running out of time. I'm sorry. We're about done. Right leg shorter than his left leg. You want to see this grow out? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dennis, we're going to get a miracle. Come help me. So, where's your pain? Right along the back?
It's pretty much everywhere. Down my back, into my legs.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to believe God. Let me see this. Yeah, see your right leg there? How much shorter? How much is that, Dennis?
Inch and a half, inch and three quarters.
Yep. Absolutely. So it's going to grow out. Say with me, Jesus. I thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word.
And I believe,
in
the miracle of healing.
In the miracle of healing.
And I command,
resurrection life
into my body.
Into my body.
And I repent,
of
doubt.
The blood of Jesus
sets me free
and makes me whole
in Jesus' name.
Loosen
him right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Loosen right now. I bind the powers of darkness, this twisting spirit, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name, that pain must go. That pain's leaving right now. In the other one's coming out now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. How you feeling? Hallelujah.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Remarkable.
God's good, isn't he?
I'm not kidding.
Amen.
Guys, this is going to go. I wrecked my back last weekend. Barely able to work all week.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's give God praise. Amen. I just want to give you a word, bro. There are things that you saw, God dealt with you, and you thought, you know what, I could do this. But yet there has been a doubt that's come on you. And that doubt has been strategic. What God spoke to you at that moment and what you said was God. God was triggering this in you. I could do that. Absolutely you can. God's not done. Take the steps of faith. But there's so many things around me that kind of cloud that. Me taking that step of faith. What does it mean I'm going to have? What about this? What this person says and what that and this and... Listen, leave it to God. Make it known and leave it to God. Hallelujah. Give God praise. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, Dennis. God is going to add to what he's already done. You're going to be blown away as you go to these meetings. Many times God gives you something before you get there. The things that he gives you are so specific and unique to the church, to the situations. But what God's going to begin to do is he's going to, even in a greater dimension, give you landlocks, things that's going on in particular in the area. He's going to show you things, and you're going to be able to begin to, early on, about the area, begin to attack a specific stronghold in prayer, and it's going to release a floodgate. There's going to be literally these large number of people come in and get saved like you saw before. These are going to be revivals like, wow, this is God. Doors opening because you have been given a key, a strategy in prayer. He's showing you this geographical domain, this demonic domain, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to attack it, and God's going to open a door, and you're going to say, oh, another key. God's given you keys. You're a complex man. It's not because you choose to be, but there's things that God has done in you spiritually that makes you that way. You're real intrigued. You inquire. You're looking for the specifics and things, and that's God. Because God unlocks things through your ministry, powerful things. There's going to be a host of increase. It's going to be like I'm telling you, you're going to finally have another baby. and he's going to have some stretch marks left from. But reality is that this is going to open up into a whole new dimension. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give God praise. Amen. Glory to God. Man, what a great scene. Mike, I'm going to tell you, there has been over the last few years a weightedness. There's been things that you have been contending for. These are things that you want to change around you. There are things that seem urgent in your spirit. Urgent. And you really need God to help you to break through. You almost feel at times like you're trapped. There's more that you want to do for God, but you feel like, I almost feel trapped. Listen to me. God has, through this experience, done something in you, and that is that He has alerted you to move closer to Him. And I'm telling you, you have moved in closer to God than you have been in a long time in your heart. And there are things that has happened in drawing nearer to God that needed to happen, because God is going to begin to inspire you in a new way. He's going to begin to awaken something in your life that's been dormant for a while. An awakening. Hallelujah. And you're going to feel inspired again. Stirred. You're going to say things to people and say, is that you, Mike? What God did. What God did. What God's doing. Amen. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank God. Well, boys, I burned up a lot of time here today. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for coming. And I really appreciate it. What a privilege. Thank you for letting me do this. I really enjoyed it. Let's give God praise as we... Hallelujah.